We turn to John chapter 3, in our Bibles, John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Just wondering how we would answer someone if they asked us, how can we be born again? How would you respond to someone if they asked you that question? You've been witnessing to them and they asked you, now how can I be born again? It's an important question, and I want to look at that this morning. John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Amen. In verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? How can a man be born again? Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, this morning to give you thanks and praise, Lord, for the opportunity to gather around your word once again. And Father, I pray that you would just give us clarity of thinking, Lord, that we might each one of us, Lord, know and be able to explain to others how a person can be born again. Well, that was the question that Nicodemus had in his own mind. We're thankful for that, and we're thankful for the Lord Jesus' teaching in this matter. We're thankful for the testimony later on of Nicodemus, who clearly was born again. But Lord, we just pray for ourselves this morning. This time might be profitable and Lord pleasing to you. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Nicodemus, the Bible says, there was a man who came by night to the Lord Jesus. Later on we find that mentioned in John chapter 7, where Nicodemus, as it were, came to the Lord Jesus' defense. And then in John chapter 19 we find that Nicodemus came with Joseph to take the body of the Lord Jesus, to put those ointments and so forth there, and to place the body in the tomb. So we would assume from all that Nicodemus was born again. that he did come to that place where he was born into the kingdom of God. But our first introduction is one who comes as a teacher in Israel, one who the Lord Jesus would indicate should have known better. In verse 10, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? It's almost like the Lord says to Nicodemus, why do you ask me this question? How can these things be? You are a master, you are a teacher in Israel, and yet you don't know the answer to this question of how can a person be born again? How can these things be? And then the Lord Jesus goes on then to give further explanation. And again, Nicodemus no doubt got a hold of that, because we find him coming out on the Lord's side. But just some thoughts this morning about this. As we witness to people and talk to people, how can we show them that they can be born again? What does it mean to be born again? I think firstly we could say here, obviously, that to be born again is to become a member of the kingdom of God. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So if a person is to be born again, then it means they are to become a member of the kingdom of God. We could maybe put it another way, we could say it means to become a member of the family of God, or to become a child of God, or a son of God. It means to be born again, it means also to have everlasting life. In the flow of this whole chapter here, it's very clear that the Bible teaches that when a person is born again, then they receive everlasting life. And everlasting life is not in just a sense that a gift that God gives you. In John chapter 17, verse 3, have a look there what the Lord Jesus said about everlasting life. He said, this is life eternal. So I want us to just be reminded that everlasting life is not something we get when we die. Sometimes people have the idea, well, you know, everlasting life is something you get when you die. No, not at all. In John 17, verse 3, the Bible says, And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Everlasting life is life that comes through knowing God, through being born again into the family of God. I now have everlasting life. I now have, as it were, a relationship with God. That's what it means to be born again, to have a relationship with God, to be born into the family of God, to enter into the kingdom of God, and to know God in an experiential way in my life. The idea of the word there, know, in John 17:3, is not just having things in my head that say I believe in God, but it's having that knowledge which comes from experience. Because I've been born again, then I have everlasting life. I have a relationship with God now, and so I am in the kingdom of God. Again, it's not something I get when I die. And people think, well, that's what you get when you die. No, everlasting life is that coming into union with God through the Lord Jesus, and now I'm enjoying that relationship with him. Because every person who's ever born will live forever. But not every person who's born has everlasting life. You see, the difference is the everlasting life is that relationship I have with God through Christ. Those who do not know God through the Lord Jesus, what they will enjoy for eternity, and I say the word enjoy in the right sense, is the second death in Revelation 20. Those who are cast into the lake of fire, this is the second death. Every individual who's been ever born will go on into eternity, some continuing in everlasting life and others going out into the second death, which is separation from God forever in the eternal flames of hell. And so it means to be born again. It means to be become a member of the kingdom of God. It means to have a relationship now with God through the Lord Jesus. But how can we be born again? Nicodemus answered, how can these things be? How can it be that a person can be born again? Notice his question there in verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You can almost see him there with a puzzled look on his face. The Lord Jesus has just said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Remember, the Jews were looking for and waiting for the kingdom to be established. The Messiah was going to establish the kingdom on earth, in their thinking, at his first coming. And so Nicodemus has perhaps come to sound out the Lord Jesus about that, maybe to find out when he's going to establish his kingdom. But the Lord Jesus said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, you won't see the kingdom. And he sets him off on a train of thought here, because Nicodemus, no doubt again with a puzzled look on his face, says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? He's trying to work this out. He says, how can you be born again? I mean, I know you're born the first time and you come into this world as a baby, but how can you be born again? Can I go back into my mother's womb as an old man and be born again? He says, I can't. I just have a bit of trouble with that. The Lord Jesus said, well, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit, marvel not that I said you must be born again. How can these things be? How can I be born again? I'm glad you've pointed out that I need to be born again, but how can I be born again? It's one thing to say to a person, you need to be born again, but what does that mean to them? What does that mean to us? How do I explain to someone, how can I show that person from the scriptures, What is my basis for coming to a person and saying that you must be born again? And what if they were like Nicodemus said, well, how can I be born? Do I have to go into my mother's womb again? How are you going to respond? You say, no, you don't understand. Now, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again. Well, very good. How can I be born again? Well, there's some things that come into this. First of all, of course, we understand that the Spirit of God is needful if a person is to be born again. That's obvious from what the Lord Jesus said here in verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. All right, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, of course, there are those who would like to use this verse to teach that you need to be baptized to be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into this kingdom of God. But notice verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is spirit. There are two births the Lord Jesus is talking about here. One is the physical birth, that which is born of water, that which is born of the flesh, and that which is a spiritual birth, that which is born of the Spirit. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There is a spiritual birth, and so the Spirit of God is needful. If someone is going to be born again, it will be by the Spirit of God working in that person's life. We know in John chapter 16 and verse 8, the Lord Jesus said that the Spirit of God would come, and when he came, he would convince or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. If a person is ever going to be born again, the Spirit of God is going to have to convict and convince them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. In other words, that they are sinners, that they need the righteousness that only God can provide through Christ. But if they don't, then they will be judged and will enjoy the second death and not everlasting life. And so the Spirit of God is needful. If a person is going to be born again, the Spirit of God must do that work. You and I cannot do it. Let's just go back to John chapter 1 just to show that that's the case. In John chapter 1, John effectively tells us what it is not, or what is not part of being born again. In John chapter 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And notice in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now the Lord Jesus tells us that it's the Spirit of God whereby a person is born again. But here in verse 13, John says, the person who becomes a son of God through believing on the Lord Jesus, believing on his name, didn't get there through being born of blood. In other words, through human parents. None of us are born into the family of God through the physical birth. Because my parents are Christians, that does not place me, when I'm born, into the kingdom of God or the family of God. It's an individual matter that each individual has to come to God through the Lord Jesus to be born again into the kingdom. And so John says, which were born not of blood. Young people, you will not become Christians, or you have not become, merely because your parents are Christians. That does not make you a Christian. It's not of blood. Notice he says also, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, not by our own efforts. I will not be born into the kingdom of God through my own efforts. Whether it's baptism, whether, and we won't go through all of this. It is not of works. So I won't be born again through being born into the Christian family. I won't be born again through my own efforts. Notice there again he goes, nor of the will of man. In other words, not by some preacher. I can't save anybody. No priest can save anybody. No pastor can save anybody. A parent cannot save their child. A child cannot save their friend. A brother cannot save their sister, and a sister cannot save their brother. It is not of the will of men, but of God. To be born again is to be born through the working of the Holy Spirit of God, as he convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. All right, so that's the number one. How can we be born again? Number two is this, through the Word of God. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter makes it very clear for us there. In verse 18, he says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, right, it's through the Spirit, that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How can a person be born again? The Spirit of God has to convict and convince them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and he uses the Word of God to do that. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. That's why it's important when we're witnessing to people to be able to give them some of the scriptures, some of the teachings regarding salvation if we're talking to an unsaved person. Because the Spirit of God wants to use the Word of God. That's the seed which the Spirit of God plants in the person's heart and life, convicts and convinces of sin and judgment and of righteousness, and uses that to cause that person to be born again or born into the kingdom. Notice in Romans chapter 10, there's the Spirit of God, there's the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, there's also the, let's call this the preacher. Doesn't have to be a preacher in the sense of someone behind the pulpit every time, but someone has to tell the person. So it's the Spirit of God who does the work, who causes the person to be born again. But he uses the Word of God, which is the incorruptible seed. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, the Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? But the question is, how shall they hear without a preacher? They have to believe, but if they're going to believe, then someone has to tell them. And so your job and my job is to tell people that they must be born again. And when they ask the question, how, then we have to be able to show them how. Now, we haven't quite got to the how. We've got to the elements that God uses. But how is a person born again? Well, through the Spirit of God. It's a spiritual birth. How does the Spirit of God do that? Through the Word of God. How does the Spirit of God do that? Through a preacher or through a person sharing the Word of God with others. How does a person get born again? Have a look in 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. How does a person get born again? In 1 John chapter 5 verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. All right? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also is begotten of him. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. How does someone get born again? The Spirit of God's involved, the Word of God, the preacher, and then, of course, the individual. And the individual needs to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, obviously, then we have to tell them a little bit more about what that is. If I just go to someone and say, Jesus is the Christ, do you believe that? Yep, okay, they're born again. No, there's more to it than that, of course. But I'm trying to put, as it were, this morning, the mechanics of what takes place as best as we're able to do that. But it's the Spirit of God whereby the person is born again. It's a spiritual birth. He uses the Word of God, the incorruptible seed. He uses an individual to share that incorruptible seed. The individual must believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he may be born of God. Now, I want to go back to John chapter 3 and then just give you a couple of definitions about believing. I did a little bit of a study on this during the week, just for an individual, but for my own edification as well. And the word believe, or the different aspects, believeth, believing, believed, etc., is used by John in the gospel particularly 99 times. Believe, believing, believed. Believeth, believe, believe. It's an important word, obviously, for John. And I believe the reason why it's important is summarized there for us in 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God. So we've got to know what believing means. If that person is going to be believing, we have to be able to tell them what that means to believe. Because so many people, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that he's the Christ. You know, we could go around and take a poll of a lot of churchgoers today and they would say they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they haven't been born again. And so what does it mean to believe that Jesus is the Christ? Well, I'll give you a couple of definitions, first of all, of believe. Firstly, from Vine's Dictionary. Vine's Expository Dictionary. To believe, also to be persuaded of. All right, someone has to be persuaded of. And hence, to place confidence in or to trust. All right, so it's more than just something in my head. I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. The devils also believe and tremble. The idea behind this is to place confidence in or to trust. It signifies, in this sense of the word, reliance upon, not mere credence or not mere intellectual knowledge. Oh, well, I believe in God, I must be okay. No, to be born again, the person must put trust, must put reliance upon the Lord Jesus. It is most frequent in the writings of the Apostle John, especially the Gospel. John used it 99 times. Whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God, the person must believe. They need to hear the Word of God. In Strong's Concordance, it says this, to believe, to have faith. In, upon, or with respect to a personal thing, that is credit. By implication, to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. Believe, commit, to put trust with. It's more than just up here. So as we do our part as the preacher, We have to tell people it's not enough to believe it in their heads. They must put their trust in Christ. They must understand who he is, that he is the Son of God who died on the cross for their sins, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. And they must put their trust in God. They must have that reliance in God, that they're resting their faith and their eternity upon God and upon the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of God has to make that real in their life. And when you look in John chapter 3, for example, in verse 15, he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. It follows after the illustration that the Lord Jesus used of Moses lifting up the serpent. What did that person have to do? What did they have to do so that they didn't die when they'd been bitten by that poisonous snake, that viper? They merely had to look. But what was that look saying? That look was saying this: I believe that there is a God. I believe that this God said, if I will look up there at that brazen serpent, I will not die. I believe that, and I am now trusting in what God said. I am trusting God to keep me alive when I look. That's what I'm saying when I look. That's what I'm saying when I'm believing. When I look to God, when I look to Christ, when I believe he died on the cross, when I believe he was buried and rose again the third day, when I'm looking to him and trusting him, relying on him because he said it, and I'm believing what he said, I'm applying it for me because I'm the sinner who needs to get saved, then I'm born again into the family of God. That's believing that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him, verse 18, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and that believeth not, he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The individual, to be born of the Spirit of God, needs to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, there's repentance and there's all those kind of things, but I wanted to particularly emphasize this morning this aspect that the person needs to believe in the Lord Jesus if they're going to be born again. And the word believe is, again, trusting and relying and committing myself to him and looking to him to honor his word and looking to him to forgive me as he's promised he would and looking to him to save me and to give me that everlasting life, which is that relationship with him through the Lord Jesus. And that's how a person is born again. And we could look right through John, and as I said, there's 99 verses there that deal with this idea of believing and believing. I want to just look at one more in John chapter 20. And see how John summarizes this thought of believing in the Lord Jesus in verse 30 of John chapter 20. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, a lot of people think, well, you know, what if there's another book? What about this book, Judas? The Gospel of Judas, that's become a big deal at the moment. Forget about the Gospel of Judas. But I think it's important. It's not important. If it was important, it'd be in the book here. This is a closed canon of Scripture. It's not open to be added to and taken away from. And the Gospel of Judas does nothing to complement. It is against what the Bible teaches. So forget about the good. Well, there's a lot happening on TV about it. Of course it is. We'll make a lot of money out of it. And the devil will use it to get great advantage to cast a doubt. Yea, hath God said. And the Da Vinci Code and all these other things that are going on at the moment, they're all there. They're all designed to cause people to doubt and ask the question, but what if there was another book that we haven't yet discovered? What if there is another ancient manuscript there? If we could just find it, then we'd really know we've got the truth. No, we have the truth here. And what did John say? He said, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this, but these are written that you might believe. He said, you've got all you need here. You don't need the Gospel of Judas. You don't need the Gospel of Thomas, which I've read. Someone gave me a copy. You don't need all those kind of things. And what I've found is, my experience has only read one, of course, the Gospel of Thomas, but it was ridiculous, to say the least. put forward a so-called, a genuine, trustworthy document to be used, not worth lighting a fire with. It's serious. I mean, it was in total contradiction to what the Old Testament scriptures was teaching. But there'll be those people who'll take heed to that and they'll say, oh, well, I wonder which one's true. Oh, my. No, let's get back here. John says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Many other books could have been written. The whole world couldn't contain them all. But these have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. To be born again, the Spirit of God has to deal with the individual. And he'll convict them of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. He'll use the Word of God. He'll use the individual who shares the Word of God. And that person then, by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, will be brought to believe in the Lord Jesus, to put their trust in him, to put their faith in him, to acknowledge, as those people in the wilderness did, that I believe God's word is true. I believe that there's a penalty for sin. I believe that there is a gift of God, which is eternal life, which comes through the Lord Jesus because of his death and his burial and resurrection. I believe that. And when the person believes that, they're born again into the kingdom of God, into the family of God. Who can be born again? Well, the Bible says whosoever. Thank God, whosoever can be born again. The Nicodemuses of this world can be born again. I believe he was. A little child can be born again. If they will believe in the Lord Jesus, simply taking what God has said in his word, that they're a sinner and that Christ died for them and that he was buried and he rose again the third day, and believing that and asking God to forgive them of their sin and trusting Christ to save them and to give them eternal life, the Spirit of God will cause them to be born again, born into the family of God. Born not of blood, and not of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God. Whosoever can be born again, but all need to be. The Bible says here in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. It's not a matter of people say, well, I'll just take my chances when I get there. They are condemned already. And for you and I as believers, then we ought to remember that. That ought to motivate us to go out there and tell others how they can be born again, because they are condemned already. It's not a matter of, oh, one day they'll probably do enough things, if they're not careful, finish up going to hell. No, the Bible is clear. They are condemned already. Every person outside this door today who's never trusted Christ their Savior is condemned already, and if they were to die now, they would go to a devil's hell. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. In verse 36 he says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Thank God that when we are born again, we have everlasting life, that we are secure in Christ. It's not something that comes and goes. We have everlasting life, because that is something that is a relationship with God. I've been born into the family of God, and now I am a child of God. And I trust this morning every one of us can say that. And you say, Pastor, it's an unusual message to preach to everybody who's already saved. Well, we trust everybody's already been born again and saved. I trust that's the case. God knows our hearts. But even if we are, we still need to remind ourselves of what God wants to do and how he's going to do it, through the Spirit of God. When I go out, it's not my own strength, it's by the power of the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God who wants to use me, but I have to know what it is that the person has to do. They have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to believe the Word of God about their condemnation and about their need to trust Christ as their Savior if they're to be born again. I have to do that. That's my part in that. But thank God, when we're born again, we're into the family of God and we're there to stay. We have everlasting life. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you, Lord, indeed for this wonderful truth, Lord, the availability and the ability to be born again into the family of God through the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God and applying it to our hearts through the preaching of your Word. Bring us that place where we're able to believe and trust Christ, trust you for our salvation. We're thankful, Lord, when we're born into the family of God, we have everlasting life, that relationship with our God that continues on down through the eternal ages. How we thank you for that this morning. Lord, I pray as we go out from this place, Lord, we'd be mindful of the need of others. We know, Lord, as we've read, that they are condemned already if they have not yet been born again. And Lord, that you might grant us opportunities to so share the seed, the Word of God, by the grace and power of the Spirit of God, that others too might be born into the family of God. And so we just thank you again for this time now. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.